8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Our Q-double question of the day today. Do you like the new aggressive Vic Fangio going for it on fourth down and the win over the Giants on Sunday? Get some thoughts on that today. High school football tonight, Palisade and Montrose. Referenced it earlier in the matchup between these two programs, which usually leads to some really close football games. 3-3, they've split their last six meetings, with Montrose holding a three-point advantage in total score in that span. So
that's close.
Don't get much closer than that. And you have, obviously, dynamic players in the backfield, Austin Griffin for Montrose, Palisade with Malachi Espinoza, Rhett Ward, Franklin Barks, Salen Savati. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there. So does the Montrose Indians. Montrose, look, they've got enough talent. They can move Tane Ela to play guard.
Yeah. One of their best runners.
Right.
They can play interior offensive line.
They can plug him into the offensive line and not miss a beat. And so that should be a good one tonight. That's old school rock'em sock'em, robot football action right there. Just knock each other's blocks off between Palisade and Montrose tonight. And of course, we'll have the homecoming game for Central tomorrow night. Central coming off the win over Palisade and then played really well at Boulder Fairview. Offensively, couldn't get it done, but defensively did a sensational job against Tom McCartney's Boulder Fairview Knights last Friday. So we'll have that game tomorrow night as Grand Junction and Central collide in the battle for the bragging rights of the city coming up tomorrow night right here on the Team Sports Network. So if you got some thoughts on that, any of the college football this weekend, Colorado and Minnesota over at Folsom Field. And there's a lot of debate about how the alliance is going to impact non-conference games like this, because there are some members of the alliance, which, to refresh your memory, is now the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC, that do have some SEC schools scheduled in their non-conference. And the alliance has kind of taken the attitude of, okay, if you already got those games scheduled and nobody here is going to force anybody to drop games. But down the road, looking at nine conference games, I think, for each school, I think the ACC, I think they're at nine as far as their conference schedule goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Pac-12 could join them in that, Big Ten as well. And that would allow for more of the Oregon, Ohio States, Michigan, Washington, Colorado, and certainly playing other Big Ten schools like this weekend with Minnesota could open that up to be even expanded further down the road. So text or call us today if you've got some thoughts on the college football weekend as well. 970-242-1340. The Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line serving your breakfast right now until 10:30 this morning over at their Rimrock location. All right, so I'd love to hear from you on the program today. Also, we'll play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is coming up in a little bit. You got that ready to go?
Allegedly, I do, yes.
Which means no, but that's okay. You don't remember if you did
right.
it or not.
I haven't opened the document yet. Because I've write them down, because brain, kind of like Swiss cheese, but with holes, since the whole COVID thing. Okay, it's done. It's ready to go.
There we go. Okay, so good. Well, it's ready to go, and so we'll have that coming up in a little bit. Let's see. Text line, a little slow today, text line.
A little bit.
A little slow. Come on. There's nothing on your mind today?
Weak.
About Vic Fangio being more aggressive, about the college football weekend, NFL weekend, which starts tonight.
Mm-hmm.
With, of course, week two, the Thursday night football game between the Washington football team and the New York Giants. So FedEx Field, Landover, Maryland tonight for that one. Of course, you have the Giants coming off the loss to the Broncos. Washington coming off a loss to another AFC West team, losing to the Los Angeles Chargers. And for Washington, not only losing the game to the Chargers, but also losing their starting quarterback, whether he was on a water slide or not.
Yeah.
And re-injured the hip, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Taylor Heinicke will, or Heinicke, excuse me. Is it Heinicke?
No, Heinicke.
Heinicke. I'm sorry. Heinicke. Thank you. Tyler Heinicke gets the start tonight in that one. So Heinicke, who has played well at times as a backup and been thrust into a starting role. He was with Carolina previously, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
I'm not sure, but he started for the football team last year.
Right, but he was, I think, a couple of seasons ago with Carolina, if memory serves me correctly. But yeah, you're right. The last couple of seasons, Taylor Heinicke's been with the Skins, but he's also, you know, in the past.
He's Houston, Carolina, and Washington.
And played pretty well when he got a chance to play for Carolina. I think when Cam Newton got hurt, he stepped in and did a pretty decent job. So anyway, so Taylor Heinicke will get the start for them tonight for the Washington football team. Giants, like, you know, Sterling Shepard, look, he's off to a really good start. Shepard looked great against the Broncos. 7 passes, 113 yards. Had a score. So we'll see what, can they get Kenny Golladay going a little more? Because, I mean, there's a reason they brought in Kenny Golladay to be another weapon for Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley, it's not looking good for him to play tonight. So that's your matchup tonight. Taylor Heinicke against Daniel Jones, the Washington football team, taking on the New York football Giants. All right, other NFL news and notes this morning before we get to the Broncos and the sound from yesterday. Urban Meyer, of course, there's college, big-time college job open now, the USC gig. And what do you think reporters are going to ask Herb about, particularly after the 0-1 start for the Jags?
Yep.
Do you have any interest in the USC job? And Urban Meyer, who declined to talk to the Denver media, this is now they... Coaches don't have to talk to opposing team media. Used to be the standard. Now it's you can opt out if you don't want to do it. But could Urban Meyer do a Bobby Petrino style? Hey, I think I'd rather go back to the college game. Just one game into his NFL regular season coaching gig,
right?
And so Urban Meyer was asked about it and said, "No, I'm not interested in the job. I'm here. I'm committed to Jacksonville to build this franchise." And in some of the people who were saw the presser or with the presser and saw Herb, that the body language from Urban Meyer was not exactly real convincing. The words were the right words, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the body language told people something else. And, of course, we go back to those infamous words from Nick Saban, December of 2006, when he was the Dolphins head coach, "I'm not going to be the Alabama coach." And then what happened? Just, 24 hours, 48 hours in that time frame later?
I think he was getting on the plane with the A on the side of it.
He ended up being the Alabama football coach.
I think he was signing the contract. "I'm not going to be the coach at Alabama." Nicholas Saban. "I'm happy to be here in Alabama." I think that's how that went down in real time.
So what do you think the chances are that Herb, I mean, would Herb really after one game?
No.
Bolt? I wouldn't think so, right? You wouldn't think that, but yeah, because I tend to think he's more committed than a Bobby Petrino was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bobby Petrino was fairly deep into the season.
Yeah.
When he decided to go back to Louisville after things had not exactly gone great with the Falcons. I just can't imagine Herb after one game would go, "Okay, I'm done."
I don't think there's any way he's peacing out after a week.
You wouldn't think that. But you know what? Stranger things have happened, like the deal with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Where he was very adamant, I'm not going anyplace. I'm here. I'm here to build the organization.
Wasn't
I'm here.
That in the offseason?
It was during the offseason, which is different. Like that was when the season was over. which gives you obviously more latitude. It doesn't make you look, it's not a great look.
It's still a bad look.
But it's not as bad as doing it in season like what Bobby Petrino did. I guess in the case of Urban Meyer, is he now had enough of a taste of the NFL to go, yeah, this isn't for me? Because I remember with somebody else on the show years ago, we talked about Urban Meyer and his, at that point in time, kind of being reluctant to coach in the NFL.
The NFL is the pinnacle, and if you don't aspire to coach in the NFL, why are you even coaching football?
Right, and we had a long discussion about this, and I said, look, there are some coaches that are just really, really comfortable being a college football coach.
Right.
That's what they like to do. They control all aspects of what they do. They can go and recruit. They can go and talk to a mom and dad in, you know, some small town, bring in a, you know, five-star linebacker, you know, four-star linebacker, and bring them in, and they can build their program. Nobody, even the athletic director, usually you're going to have, if you're Nick Saban, you've got a lot of latitude to do what you do. Long as you keep winning, you're allowed to do pretty much whatever you want to do. NFL doesn't have that. You have an owner that you have to answer to. If you don't win, you're gone. And with the college game, you have the ability to build your program, and you have a comfort level there. You know what you're getting. You're recruiting, you go out, you shake hands, you talk to parents, you get kids to come in and play for you. NFL, you're talking about what we've talked about with Urban Meyer, where he's ran into problems. He's dealing with professional football players that don't give a crap about his college approach. They don't care about that.
Right.
It doesn't speak to them. And so when we had this discussion, you know, there was the talk, I think, what Urban Meyer had kind of, there had been some discussion with the Cowboys at one point and things like that. And I said, some guys just like coaching college football. And Nick Saban, and that was the one I always reference, I go, Nick Saban tried in the NFL, it did not work. And he was quick to leave to go to Alabama, where he is the right now, probably the greatest college football coach ever.
Probably, yeah.
It was going to be tough sledding for him to ever be named the greatest NFL coach. Urban Meyer is one of the greatest college football coaches ever. But if the Jags win three games this year and win maybe four or five games in 2022, nobody's going to be saying, hey, boy, Urban Meyer, one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time. He does not control every aspect of his football operation. He doesn't have that kind of latitude. He's got a GM to answer to. He's got an owner to answer to. And if you don't win, and you're the competition you're playing, you're not playing Rutgers anymore, or Maryland when they're bad,
right?
And so I just, to me, there are guys that just want to coach at the college level because they know they can have greater success there. They have more control over it.
Yeah.
And the person that used to work with me that discussed this, you're right. The point they made was, well, then you don't care about reaching the height of your field.
Why are you even coaching football, essentially?
Because you can be a great college football coach and make more money than an NFL coach, and you control your own destiny.
Right.
More than you do as an NFL coach. And they got, now it's what Herb's finding.
There are holes in the argument for that to begin with. Is like, are you now then criticizing all of the high school coaches that don't aspire to coach in college? They don't want to coach in college.
They just like coaching high school football.
They like coaching high school football. And that's a knock, right? Then at that point, in that argument, if you're not aspiring to coach in the NFL, why are you doing it? Maybe you just like to coach.
Maybe you like to work.
You don't
want
to coach in the NFL.
Maybe if you're a high school coach, you just like working with kids.
Right. Maybe like we talked about with Mark Johnson last hour. Maybe you don't like filling out a two deep.
Maybe
best place to do that is high school. You don't even have to put your right roster on the internet. In some places.
In some places, yeah.
You just like coaching football. You don't want to do the other peripheral stuff. Maybe you just like coaching football.
And like I said, that so-called that desire to coach at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, it's not more rewarding in many cases than being a college football coach.
No. Not now, especially.
Not these days. There was a time then, okay, maybe, but not now. You can make every bit as much money, if not more money, typically, as a college football coach. So we'll see where this goes with Urban Meyer. I'd like to think that Herb is in it for the long haul. But how tempting will that USC job be to him? Where he would go just a couple of games in, say the Broncos go and they win by 3 touchdowns Sunday, or Herb goes, hey, USC, I'm interested in that job. I'd like to interview for it. This isn't working for me here. I love to be coaching the Pac-12. We'll see where that goes. All right, let's listen to some of the sound from yesterday. Broncos had their Wednesday presser before, of course, their game this Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yesterday, Vic Fangio addressing some topics along with Patrick Surtain II. Here's Patrick Surtain on getting his first NFL start with the hamstring injury to Ronald Darby.
I'm approaching like a regular week, getting out here, getting prepared, taking it day by day, working hard in practice. It's a new opportunity for me to step in and fill in the role, so I'm going to be ready.
All right, so Surtain ready for that chance. Vic Fangio says they're going to miss Jerry Jeudy, who is out, of course, with that high ankle sprain, but he's pretty confident other guys can get the job done.
Obviously, we're going to miss Jerry. Obviously, it hurts our depth. KJ, Tim, and Cortland, Kendall, Spence, they'll be able to go in there and fill the void. But, Jerry was having a hell of a camp, as you all noticed, had a really good game going the other day, and we're going to miss him while he's out.
All right, so the Broncos will take on a very young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, the overall number one pick in this last NFL draft out of Clemson. Rookie quarterbacks have not fared very well against Vic Fangio. Matter of fact, rookie quarterbacks in their start against a Fangio defense, well, the success rate's been pretty low. For example, we use the example they have in The Athletic of when Vic Fangio and his defense faced Russell Wilson when Wilson was a rookie. He had a Pro Bowl rookie season. Had a couple of touchdown drives in the final 7 minutes of a game against the Patriots. Threw a touchdown pass to give the Seahawks a win over Tom Brady and company, 24-23. So you're thinking, okay, he's off to this great start. Now, this is when Fangio was with San Francisco. 1 week later, Russell Wilson faced Vic Fangio. Had the worst performance of his rookie season. He had a 38.7 passer rating and a 13-6 loss, 9-23 for 122 yards. He also threw a pick, got sacked twice, and ran for just 10 yards, second lowest output of the season. So rookie quarterbacks, when they face Vic Fangio, they have faced a very tough defense that typically does not allow for a lot of success, even if that rookie quarterback has played pretty well in those previous games. Matter of fact, since 2011, when Vic Fangio returned to the NFL as a defensive coordinator following his time at Stanford, first-year QBs, their record 4-10. And collectively completed just 57.1% of their passes with a 79.5 passer rating. So that's what Trevor Lawrence has in store for him Sunday in a rookie season against the Broncos defense with Vic Fangio as the defensive play caller. History has shown it hasn't gone well for those guys.
Right, and that's what Vic Fangio, he's hung his hat on being the defensive coach. He always seems to have the game plan in place that even some veterans haven't been able to figure out yet, and rookies absolutely not.
And here's Vic on pressuring young QBs.
We play the defense that we're comfortable playing. No sense making our guys uncomfortable for the sake of that. And hopefully, we do a good enough job disguising our intentions, and that helps. I mean, a lot of people think pressuring a rookie quarterback is the way to go, but sometimes that makes it easy for him. It identifies the coverage, gets the ball out quick. And so you just need to have a good mix of pressure and coverage.
All right. We'll see if Vic and Ed Donatell can confuse Trevor Lawrence on Sunday. Pregame at 9, kickoff at 11, Broncos at the Jags on the Team Sports Network. All right, 820 Mike Rice and our Broncos report coming up in just a moment. But it's time right now to play the Pyle's favorite game on a Thursday, which is... And you have your choice of Qdoba or New Belgium beer from Fat Tire, case of it from High Country Beverage.
Yes, all right. I was a week one winner in the NFL. It was not this particular season, however. We won more games in the playoffs than we did in week one when I was a Denver Bronco. 5-2 in week one, 7-4 in the playoffs. And I once co-hosted a show on this very station.
Ooh, I like that. All right, first correct answer. You win, and you get your choice of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage. Okay, so that. Also, Qdoba, your choice today. First correct answer to the team line, 970-242-1340.
Via text.
Via text.
Text only.
We only do text on contests, unless we indicate otherwise. Text on this one, 970-242-1340 to win today with Who Is It? All right. Also, what's your thoughts about Riverboat Vic? Okay, it isn't quite like Riverboat Ron. We'll have to come up with something else. But Vic Fangio, obviously more aggressive in week one with the fourth down calls. Do you like the new
Vegas
aggressive
Vic?
Vegas Vic. Thank you very much. I like it. Vegas Vic. Do you like the new aggressive Vegas Vic Fangio? Send in your thoughts today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team. Time to get in the huddle with the Broncos Radio Network's Mike Rice on The Team.
And joining us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, it's our Broncos report with Mike Rice, brought to you by Gallagher's Flooring and ComWest. Good morning, Mike. Appreciate the time.
You bet, Jim. Good to be with you again.
Always great to have you on. I know a busy morning, so we'll get right to it since you have Rockies baseball coming up here on the team in a little bit, Rockies and Braves. The Broncos will not have Jerry Jeudy, obviously, for a while with that high ankle sprain. And I know we talked a little bit about some of the injuries on Tuesday's show. But I just get a sense yesterday, and listening to Teddy Bridgewater, that, look, Teddy realizes how important Jerry Jeudy is. He had a great game in 2.5 quarters against the Giants on Sunday. But he has a lot of confidence in the guys that he has there with the Tim Patricks, the Cortland Suttons, who have, you know, like Cortland has yet to really break out, had the catch on fourth down for his only catch of the game, but it was a big one against the Giants. There seems to be in Teddy Bridgewater, look, we can get this done with the guys we have here. We've got a deep wide receiver room, and we're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, if you had Cortland Sutton, even maybe not 100%, and Tim Patrick, who is still underrated, and KJ Hamler, who's a terrific young talent, those are three pretty good guys to start with. And that's to say nothing of Noah Fant, Albert O, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. I mean, there are a lot of different guys that can do it. Now, you'd love to have Jeudy, of course, but the fact is that's why you build depth, and that's why you build a roster to be able to withstand some injuries. So the Broncos will miss Jeudy, there's no question, because he's that good. But I think they'll be fine as long as, you know, they don't have, you know, any, you know, a spate of injuries at that position. I think if they split the reps, which it sounds like they'll split Judy's reps among those top three guys, Patrick and Hamler and Sutton, I think they'll be fine. I really do.
On the defensive side, Patrick Surtain II, the Broncos' first-round selection, will make his first career NFL start with the hamstring injury to Ronald Darby. And he was asked about the play that he was involved in with the touchdown that the Broncos gave up to the Giants in Sunday's victory. And it sounded like there was some issues in regard to who is supposed to take, you know, responsibility in terms of coverage and things like that, unless it's going to happen for a rookie player like Patrick Surtain II. But young man seems like he is focused and ready to get his first NFL start, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. Again, there's a young player that you look at and go, oh boy, he doesn't really act like or play like a young player. There will be mistakes. There will be a learning curve. But I don't think his learning curve is like the learning curve of other players. I mean, in the course of an NFL game, even against an offense that isn't great, you're probably going to have a breakdown or two. And I don't think Broncos fans should look at what happened on that one play and say, oh man, Patrick Surtain, it's, even if it was his fault or whatever. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, veterans make mistakes. I think Patrick Surtain is terrific. The fact that Vic Fangio has played him in a variety of positions throughout the preseason just shows, you know, what a talent he is, and he's only going to get better. So we might as well just put him right in there this week. You hate to see Darby get hurt, for sure. You hate to see that depth get tested at corner. But again, that's what I mean, the Broncos could have traded one, if not two, cornerbacks during the preseason. There's a reason George Payton didn't, because, like Vic says,
right,
you can never have enough of those guys.
And, of course, they still have Michael Ojemudia on the injured list as well. So there's more depth that's waiting to come back at some point for the Broncos when Ojemudia returns. Mike Rice, Broncos Radio Network, 850 KOA, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show. Patrick Surtain's going to face a guy that he saw in college, national championship game 3 years ago, where Clemson beat Alabama. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick in this past draft for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. And I was we were talking about the numbers for Vic Fangio defense against rookie quarterbacks, Mike. And it's great for the Broncos, not so good for Trevor Lawrence. Vic Fangio defense is against rookie quarterbacks. They're 4-10 against him.
Yeah, I would say this. I'd say Trevor Lawrence could be in for a long day. I like Trevor Lawrence.
Sure.
You know what bugs me, Jim, is we see these young, talented quarterbacks come into the league, and we expect them to be great. I mean, great, right away. And I know what the NFL's about. I'm not being naive. It's what have you done for me lately? It's win now. But most young quarterbacks aren't like that. They just aren't. And if they are, remember when Ben Roethlisberger was in his first year and the Steelers went to the playoffs and went to the Super Bowl, I think. And, I mean, the Steelers were running the ball. I mean, and they let Ben sort of come along slowly as the quarterback, if you will. Well, teams don't do that anymore, and I don't think it's right. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be good enough to overcome that. But to expect him to go up against the Vic Fangio defense and put up 31 points or whatever, I mean, the Jaguars roster I'm not sure is that good. And unless the Broncos make mistakes and help the Jaguars along, I don't see it being that kind of game at all. I see the Broncos winning, and maybe winning easily if you can do that on the road with where this team is. So I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine, but I don't know that he's going to be fine on Sunday.
And Denver right now, 6-point road favorite in that game, and we'll have it this Sunday on the Team Sports Network with pregame at 9, kickoff at 11. Dave Logan and Rick Lewis with the call, the Broncos at the Jags. Our Broncos report with Mike Rice, brought to you by Gallagher's Flooring and ComWest. We work in some bonus Rockies talk as well, because you'll have the game coming up here in a little bit on the team. The Rockies taking on Atlanta. Rockies 5-1 on this road trip, Mike. And look, the Rockies have looked like a playoff contender like the Braves are, or the Braves have kind of looked like the Rockies have looked on their home field, but like the Rockies have looked at times on the road this season. It's been a role reversal during this series.
A little bit, and it's been fun to see, and in the Philly series as well. I mean, they're sort of the equal opportunity annoyer for the National League East on this trip, and I think that's great to see. It just shows you that some of the younger guys are getting better. The Rockies as a team are playing better. They're continuing to compete. They're continuing to battle. All those things that you want to see, and I get it. It's September games. You're basically out of the race, not mathematically eliminated, but Jim, I again. If the Rockies had only been what they normally are on the road, this is a team that's in the conversation for the second wild card right now. And again, that's only to say that I don't know that this team is as far as many people thought they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, there were people saying this is going to be the worst team in the history of baseball. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's just a joke. I mean, and the 63 wins over under, you know, I wish I had put $500 on. I had $500 to put on the Rockies on the over. I mean, that's just silly kind of stuff. But be that as it may, it's good to see them play better, and you know, I think it's great. And we'll see if they can get a sweep today. That'd be something.
Yeah, no doubt. Rockies looking for the sweep today. They went in 10 innings last night, 3-2 to beat the Braves. A couple of former Grand Junction Rockies getting it done last night, Mike, with Raimel Tapia driving in Colton Walker for that winning run.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Raimel getting a single through the drawn-in infield, and then Carlos Estevez, Robert Stevenson, I should say, finding a way in the 10th inning to keep Freddie Freeman at second. Again, a step forward for a guy who's looking to solidify himself in Stevenson and looking to, you know, continue to show, you know, get results from the talent he has. And so, really good win. And to battle through those conditions, and it's going to be much the same today, it sounds like, I think is even doubly impressive.
And Antonio Sensatella was outstanding. Man. Another quality start, his seventh quality start in a row. He was outstanding last night.
Jim, this is why I think Rockies fans should be excited more than any other reason. Assuming they sign John Gray, and I think they will, both sides want to get it done, so I'm assuming that they're going to get it done. I think it would be an upset if they didn't. But this is why the Rockies are not that far away, because they've got a solid rotation that should all be back next year, that should all be better next year, and hopefully healthy, knock on wood. But, I mean, not many teams are going to have a 1-5 rotation like the Rockies will heading into spring training. And I think that's the foundation of this club. That's where it starts. They've got to figure it. We've talked about it. They've got to figure out the bullpen. They've got to bring in a couple of bats. And they've got to avoid a horrendous start like they had in April and May. And I don't think that any of those things are unrealistic.
Rockies take on the Braves today, going for the sweep in Atlanta. Ermon Marquez against Ian Anderson. We'll have it, Mike. And, of course, Jack Corgan will have the call. Rockies at the Atlanta Braves pregame at 9:40 this morning. So our show will step aside. And glad to do it, Mike, a little bit early for Rockies baseball with Rockies on deck at 9:40. Appreciate it, Mike. Have a great call today.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right, Mike Rice, 850 KOA, Broncos and Rockies Radio Networks. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner yet?
We do not.
Okay, give the clues again for...
I was a week one winner in the NFL. It was not this particular season, though. We won more playoff games than week one games when I was in Denver. I once co-hosted a show on this station, the Team Sports Network. Ryan Harris is a guest. Mark Schlereth is a guest. Both are good, decent guesses, but they're wrong. Right side of the football, wrong position. This guy touched the football a little more often than those guys did.
And we're talking legitimate co-host.
Yes.
Not just a guest.
Not a segment guest. A legitimate every episode for that particular year. He was a co-host on.
So keep that in mind with your guest today. So text in your answer, 970-242-1340. If you win, you have the choice of Qdoba today, build a burrito from Qdoba, or a case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage. So a couple of great prizes. We always do this every Thursday on the program. By the way, don't forget, too, to get your picks in. I just did mine, by the way.
Oh, nice.
For Pile Pigskin Pick'em. We'll have weekly prizes you can win. We hope to have maybe tell you tomorrow who the winner was for week two. Once again, we got to remind people that we don't do the actual
process. Yeah, you don't want us in charge of the math.
Yeah, we have a company that does that for us, so we're kind of at their mercy of when they get us the winner for week one. So as soon as we get it, we will get it to you. But get your picks in for week two, because it starts tonight with the Giants and Washington. And we have weekly prizes we give away. You could win a $1,000 gift card to Play It Again Sports, courtesy of Play It Again Sports. They're in the Valley Plaza. If you're looking for inexpensive sports gear, they're the place to go. Also, you could win a Traeger Pro Series 34 wood pellet grill, courtesy of Fruta Co-op Country, with locations in Fruta, Palisade, Norwood. And the overall point score winner, you get a Bud Light cooler stocked with Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Must be 21 or older to play. Get your picks in today at theteam1340.com. That's the team at theteam1340.com. So hopefully, second time around here, we'll have a good guess. Yeah,
we have a winner. I'm just waiting on a name.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and, since we have a correct answer on it, we'll go ahead and play a little sounder.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
So let's give the correct answer. Yeah.
So we had some good guesses. Steve Sewell, Mark Jackson... Vince Johnson and a couple others. We had a handful of Mark Jackson's. That is correct. And the first one through the door doesn't have a name on the system. So a new guy winning on the team's fourth.
We love first-time winners.
And yes.
thank you so much for listening and winning today.
Yep, but Mark Jackson once was your co-host of the Armchair Quarterbacks.
Part, of course, the Three Amigos with, I saw where Vance Johnson.
Me and Greg and Mark Jackson, the three
right.
Amigos.
Well,
oh, you're talking
of Ricky Nateel and the actual Three Amigos. I saw where Vance Johnson was at, was on, I believe, Facebook. He was at the Raiders-Ravens game on Monday night. I believe he was out in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium taking that game in. All right, 8:39, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have four down territory, but also Palisade football coach Joe Romano, his thoughts about the win over Delta, but also the big game tonight against the Montrose Indians, which we'll have right here on the Team Sports Network with pregame at 6, kickoff at 7. High school football brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. Coach Romano and four down territory on the way next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Your thoughts about Vegas Vic. Yeah, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Rolling the dice on Sunday, going for it on fourth down. Do you like the new aggressive Vic Fangio? See, you start sporting maybe Golem A jacket.
The green visor.
The green visor, the Elvis-like sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the cape. It'll be a cape. It'll be a gold lame cape for Vic Fangio. Hey, baby. We're going to go for it on 4th and 15. Okay,
big
it wasn't like
cigar.
They yeah, exactly. Got the stogie out of the corner of his mouth. Not that they were going for it on 4th and 15 Sunday, by the way. But if you like, do you like the new aggressive Vic Fangio? Got some thoughts about the high school or college football weekend as well? Text or call us today, 970-242-1340.
We have a name for our new texter, Patrick. Correctly identifying Mark Jackson.
Thank you.
Who is it? He picks Qdoba.
All right. So New Belgium
beer available.
Is still New Belgium beer, case of it, from High Country Beverage, up for grabs for you today if you text in. Montrose and Palisade, has this turned into maybe one of the better rivalries, even though they don't play in the same classification, don't play in the same conference, considering how close the games have been? I mean, they're split. Mm-hmm. In the last six games,
3-3.
3-3. Montrose was a 3-point edge in total score. This may be the best rivalry in terms of how competitive it is.
It might be,
With these two teams. We've got some thoughts on that today. Context
after
or calls.
What happened, Palisade Rifle, Palisade.
Of course, now Palisade
Delta.
Montrose play on a more regular basis, mm-hmm. though, than Palisade Rifle
does. I think
does.
It's right up there with Fruit of Montrose. That one's been close.
That one's been
That's
close
been
as well.
That's been a one-score game for the last few years.
Yeah, close game where Fruita had the lead at halftime. Montrose comes back to win a close contest in that one. Montrose, what, year ago, 2 years ago? Won by a point?
A couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. They won by a point. So that's been very competitive with Montrose and Fruita Monuments. So if you got some thoughts on those rivalry matchups, which one's the more competitive one? Fruit of Montrose, Montrose Palisade. Text or calls 970-242-1340. Speaking of the Bulldogs who take on Montrose tonight here on the Team, had a chance to catch up with Palisade coach Joe Romano.
Time to get in the huddle with Palisade coach Joe Romano on the Team.
Joe, good road win for your football team. Delta's always a tough team, whether they're playing in the Western Slope Conference back in the old days or now in the 2A football ranks, one of the better programs in that classification. You went into Delta and did a nice job of bouncing back after that loss to Central with a solid road win. Your ground game, once again, setting the tempo for your football team.
Well, it was a good win, Jim, and I was proud of our guys, the way they responded, a lot more passion for the game of football, and it was against a good football team, but they were missing a key ingredient in their team. But we battled well and did some good things in all phases.
Have to be happy with the way your young quarterback Malachi Espinoza played. I believe 3 touchdowns in that game for Malachi.
Yeah, he did a super job of reading and doing and getting the option game going. And just a great leadership job. He's a great young man, and We're going to need every bit of it this week.
What did Malachi kind of focus on after the Central game? What were some of the things that you kind of worked with him on and the coaching staff worked with him on and he worked on himself in regard to maybe sharpening some things and running the option and doing those responsibilities as your quarterback?
Well, you know, I think he played consistent and played very well throughout. We didn't support him real well, and we didn't win the line of scrimmage like we need to do the week we had more trouble. So, you know, those are things that he's doing. He's a great leader for us, just a great example guy. He doesn't do a lot of talking. He gets out there and performs, and we got guys to really respond around him more. So he's been fantastic all year, Jim.
Palisade football coach Joe Romano joining us on the Team Sports Network. In your defense facing Timothy Horn, who's a really good running back. You mentioned they had the youngster at quarterback in that game. But Tim Horn's a heck of a running back, and your defense did a nice job against their always potent offense.
We did, and Coach Steele and our defensive staff have done a great job adjusting to things. And we face different challenges here and there, and we're just trying to make sure that we are sound in what we're doing.
Joe Romano, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs, with us on the Team Sports Network, and another big challenge this time, another ranked team. Of course, your team ranked in the top 10 in 3A, Montrose. They're the number 4 team in 4A. The games are always close. You've split the last 6 games you played. Always a close battle with Brett Mertens and Montrose, and you have another big test tonight when you take on the Indians.
Well, we do, Jim, and they're one of the class teams in 4A, and they're very powerful, probably the best team on the Western Slope, as they've handled some things there. We know we got our work cut out for us at camp. We got to go against them a little bit up there and just to see the power that they have. So it's exciting because it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Face another young quarterback. Gage Wareham has now taken over as the quarterback for the Montrose Indians. But Austin Griffin, who was an All-State player last year, just a tremendous running back. And their performance against Durango, which was red hot heading into that football game. You have to be impressed with what you've seen, obviously, from their running game, Joe, but also what they've been able to do defensively. Because, that, like I said, that was a potent Durango Demons offense with former Bulldogs coach Todd Kayspear that they did a nice job against last Friday.
Boy, they sure did. Jim, they're sound throughout. Great players, very well coached, and they do things. I love the way they play. I've just, been around them for quite a bit as Coach Mertens has developed things, and just seeing how they've evolved. They do a great job in all phases, and their kids play hard, man, and they go, and they're pretty big, too. We're going to be a little smaller than the Indians.
Joe, appreciate the time. Best of luck against Montrose.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll have that game tonight. Pre-game at 6, kickoff at 7. Palisade hosting Montrose at Stoker on the Team Sports Network. It's brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. Let's get into...
We're into 4 down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, we'll start things out with first down. We referenced this with Mark Johnson during our conversation with the voice of the Buffaloes in the 7 o'clock hour. The shenanigans going on with Minnesota not putting out a depth chart with their actual players on it. And Dave Platty, the sports information director for the Buffs, doing in kind, giving them a depth chart with wide receiver Philip Elliott from the longest yard, reefer receiver Jimmy Buffett, the left tackle is Roger Murdoch from Airplane. Norman Bates from Psycho is the tight end. And at quarterback, you have either Paul Crew from the longest yard, take your pick of Burt Russell, Turd Ferguson, or Adam Sandler, or Seth Maxwell from North Dallas 40. You also have the 1/4 back is Kelly Leak from the Bad News Bears. And then your coach.
That would also be a quarterback, right?
I believe so. And your coach, it's not Carl Durrell, it's Morris Buttermaker from the Bad News Bears. Good to see a South Park reference in here with the snapper, the long snapper, is Kyle from South Park.
Hey, all right. Kyle Brothofsky.
He is your long snapper for the game against Minnesota, which you can hear this Saturday with kickoff at 11. Buffalo's in Minnesota on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM. All right, move on to second down very quickly. Chandler Jones of the Arizona Cardinals. He tied a franchise record with 5 sacks in Sunday's game. Mm-hmm. And against Tennessee Titans, quarterback Kyler Murray throwing a little shade at his teammate. Here's a little bit of Kyler Murray.
I expect on Sunday, you know, he's a really unorthodox guy. You know, takes his shirt off. He doesn't look too good.
What he said was, he's an unorthodox guy. He doesn't look too good when he takes his shirt off. About Chandler Jones.
Hey, I mean, he doesn't have to look good when you're sacking. You get, what is it, 5 sacks?
5 sacks.
You're on pace for 84 for the season. That's not too bad. I don't have to look great in my shirt at that point either.
Exactly. I don't think Chandler Jones is fine with that.
Right. And when, you know, Kyler Murray takes off his boy small, he probably doesn't look good in his shirt either. So, you know.
Whoa.
I'm just helping Chandler Jones out. One big dude to another that looks bad with no shirt. Trying to help him out.
Well, Jones wasn't going to take it, you know, without responding.
Yeah.
He yelled back at Murray when he said it. He called him Baby Yoda.
There you go.
And started talking crap about his hair.
That's perfect.
That's a team that's having some fun.
Yeah. And 1-0. That's a good team that's having a good time there. All right. Third down. I had something really, really smart and insightful that I thought up last night. Didn't bother to write it down or text it to myself, so I can't remember what it was. So ESPN's AL Cy Young predictor has Garrett Cole third behind Liam Hendricks and Raisel Iglesias. Is that a little low for Garrett Cole, the way he's going right now?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, third is low. Fourth down on the NL side, the top three are Bueller, Arias, and Gausman. Any name in the top three National League that you think should be there that isn't?
Kevin Gausman's had such an impressive season.
He's had a resurgence for sure.
Yeah, I can't think of any top of my head that I can say yeah.
Yeah, there's not anybody out there that I'm like, no, that guy.
Because
Airmon's
cooled off quite a bit here in the second half, so I can't say him. I can't think of anybody right now and go, yeah, that guy should be in that conversation.
Not right off the top of my head.
No.
So there you go. There's four down here.
All right. So coming up next hour, just a quick reminder, we'll be leaving a little bit early today for Rockies on Deck. Rockies looking for the sweep of the Braves today. And we'll have that coming up at 9:40. But next hour, we'll talk with Colorado Mesa defensive coordinator Brandon Anderson, Mavericks offensive coordinator Braylee Brown. That's coming up next hour. Plus, we'll have an abbreviated edition of In the Garage of NASCAR. Fred, I believe J-Rod is in. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That'll be coming up next hour on the program. Just a reminder, by the way, that you still have time to get your picks in for Pile Pigskin Pick'em. We're always having a lot of fun with this. And we have the weekly prizes we give away. And the top three winners each week get it entered in to win the grand prize of a $1,000 gift card to Play It Again Sports from Play It Again Sports in Valley Plaza. And you could also win a Traeger Pro Series 34 wood pellet grill courtesy of Fruta Co-op Country. And the overall point score prize gets a Bud Light cooler stocked with Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. So make sure you get your entries in at theteam1340.com. Hey,